There's a zombie takeout on the wing!
Enough is enough. I've had it with these monkey-fighting zombie takeout on this Monday to Friday plane. Welcome to episode 247 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie Takeout.
The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto, and that intro had a little throwback, callback line.
I think we may have used a variation of that Snakes on a Plane line when we actually reviewed Snakes on a Plane.
I think so.
In fact, I think I had that variation in my notes initially before we changed it.
Yeah.
Anyway, without any further ado, on to this week's movie, which is from 2014, Sharknado 2, the second one. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Gills. They're really just a suggestion.
And also brought to you by The Today Show. Do they do weddings and bar mitzvahs as well?
We can only hope so.
Let's get a Kickstarter going to see if we can rent The Today Show for something.
Or at least Matt Lauer and Al Roker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Send them out as a double act.
All right. So, of all places to begin a shark movie, we're on a plane.
With a direct airplane reference.
Oh, yeah. They give you the clue right from the beginning of like what to expect from this movie when you find out who the pilot of the plane is, who didn't have the fish, luckily.
And even that first shot of the plane soaring through the clouds was directly from Airplane.
Oh, yeah, it was. And I was like, oh, this is a very... I was saying, this is a very airplane... In my notes, this is a very airplane feel to it. And then... You see who the pilot is. But anyway, he believes he sees a shark in the clouds while he's flying over.
And this is our hero from the last movie.
Yes. Yes, this is Finn from the last movie. And of course, there are sharks in the sky. One large enough to take out their engine. And of course, Finn knows how to land a plane.
Because he apparently knows everything and everyone in New York City, apparently.
And was it just me or was she starting to shimmy? Was she starting to shake?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I don't know. they just need to calm Will Wheaton down, though. Mm-hmm. Anyway. would you have paid big money to have seen Will Wheaton in the hysterical passenger scene?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe younger Will Wheaton.
Well, yeah,
he's still dressed as Ensign Crusher.
Right, yeah, Wesley Crusher in that role, absolutely.
Just calm down. Patrick Stewart wailing away at him. Love you, Will.
Saturday Night Live, get on that.
Yes. So yeah, he lands the plane, and of course they were far out enough ahead of the shark storm that even the weather forecasting sharks.
They actually were.
With little shark graphics.
I loved the shark graphics.
I don't know. I can't keep a straight face. This movie cracked me the hell up.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's in New York. He apparently grew up with the guy who sang some boring pop songs in the 90s.
Yeah.
The Just Wanna Fly guy. That's right.
Yeah, that's Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray, who has not aged well.
No, he's not. Very few people in this movie have, though, in all honesty.
And apparently he's married to Finn's sister, who was on Remote Control, if you're old like us.
That's,
Sorry, were. She was on Remote Control,
and she did a bunch of Skinner Mac movies. I hardly recognize her, to tell you the truth.
She's aged actually really well.
She's aged well, but she does not look like...
No, not like she did back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, it's... If it was surgery, it's a decent surgery because, I mean...
Don't think so.
She still looks human.
I don't...
She just doesn't look like who
she's changed as she's gotten older. I don't think it was surgery. I've been following... She did a lot of cable movies that I was fond of, if you get my meaning. And she
Now,
was on Sliders for a while, so I've been kind of following her throughout her career. And
the other
she's.
thing is, of course, there were a few different women from Remote Control.
Oh, yeah, she was the second, I believe, Kari.
Which, that show does not get enough love. Why aren't shows like that on Netflix? But anyway,
Definitely.
yo, young Colin Quinn and Adam Sandler.
The beginning of Sandler's career, if I recall
Oh,
correctly.
yeah, definitely. But anyway, so they have the family splits up before they know that there's a catastrophe waiting to happen.
Well, Finn knows, but he keeps trying to tell
Well,
people, but they don't believe him.
Finn is trying to stop it, but the family had split up. One was going to the Statue of Liberty, the other was going to a Mets game, and Finn was rushing to get to the Mets game to, I don't know, lead them back to safety somehow.
An awfully big crowd for a Mets game. And I say that as a former Mets fan.
Was a day game though, because I mean,
True.
the fantasy of, so the most unrealistic thing about this movie, the Mets were winning. Mets suck. Anyway, yeah, the women, of course, are making a mad dash to get back onto the island from the Statue of Liberty. They are having an epic subway ride, which, honestly, I have been to a normal Mets game, and the 7 train is jam fucking packed. I cannot imagine what it would be like in the event of a disaster.
Although that train was fairly empty, you had the
It was
troubadour and
very
cast members
empty.
and like three other people.
It was completely empty when they were coming in. And like I said, I mean, granted, it was like 20 something years ago.
Well, back when the Mets were decent.
Ah. Yeah, it was about 20 years ago now that I think about it.
Nineties, they were still respectable.
That's true. That's true. And yeah, it was jam packed, but not this. It was just everybody got onto the train and got in on the first attempt. So, of course, they say if that they have the workers that we're not introduced to before, who are in the underground tunnels, and if they don't switch the shutoff valve or the floodgates, that whole subway will flood.
And they're really just there for a Star Wars reference and a quick gag.
So, spoiler alert, the subway's gonna flood. It was the first of several Star Wars references, of course, throughout, but we'll get to that.
I only really caught two, but continue.
But anyway, they have sharks in the subway. They make it back to the hotel eventually, anyway. And which is kind of, they did kind of an Indiana Jones thing, where they're all looking in one direction, thinking that he had fallen off,
Right.
and he walks behind them. I'm right here.
Another one of
And
the many references.
yes, that one, of course, you have to, it's a more subtle reference. One of the few subtleties I've spotted in this movie, actually. But they make it to the hotel. They're on the roof. Well, actually, Viveka A. Fox and Finn are on the roof, trying to blow up the tornado again, trying to recapture the magic of the first movie.
Throwing the bombs into the Sharknado to dissipate it, and it doesn't work this time,
It
fortunately.
does
I was
not
pleased by that.
work for some reason. Well, of course, they had a much more sane and rational explanation as to how to break up a tornado, which we will get to in just a second. I'm not sure why they had to leave the building exactly. Oh, the basement flooded, and it was the water was coming up the stairs in one direction, and they had flaming sharks from the top. That's right. Luckily, on the other side of the staircase, there's a fire exit, so there's another staircase on the other side of that staircase that they were able to escape the building from.
They heard you like staircases, so they put a staircase right next to a staircase.
Yeah, it's very nice, very convenient. And the only way to stop a Sharknado of that magnitude was to get some Freon tanks at the top of the Empire State Building, turn them on, and somehow connect it electrically to the outside of the building.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
To quote Joel Hodgson, just repeat to yourself, it's just a show. I should really just relax.
I mean, did your head not explode when they said that?
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, they're cold and electricity,
Yeah.
and then, wait, what? They have to have it connected to the building itself?
This is in Sharknado.
Yes. And then, of course, you see blue lights and hilarity ensues.
This is the movie I wanted the last time.
Same here. Oh my God.
And I like the last one. I think I gave it a 4.5, but this is what I was looking for.
The last one was annoying because I kind of felt like I should have listened to the last review instead of
I
last
listened
week's.
to it last night, actually.
But I thought they had kind of were hedging their bets too much last time.
They
That's
didn't
what
go all in as much enough for you.
right. That's what I was remembering. This one, yes.
Oh, they go completely all in on every cylinder. There's even a nice amount of gore. I mean, it's sparing, but it's nice when they do it.
It is. It was good. And sharks that just inexplicably go right for the head.
Starting with Kelly Osbourne, which
Yes.
was nice.
Yes.
This movie's also loaded with cameos, and I was a little nervous of going in that all of the cameos and the deliberate cheese would kind of take away from it, but it didn't. It really just helped.
This is probably the best stunt casting ever, I could say. I mean,
It's a rare case where it actually helped the movie.
This is modern day mad world,
Yes, very
without a
much so.
doubt. Because they're not just like, it's not like George Clooney at a bar or something like stupid like that. No, it's the fucking weirdest, craziest people that you could think
Oh,
of.
yeah. Biz Margie, Mark McGrath,
Bismarcky is
Dr.
Vinny that
Carter.
runs the pizzeria. That cracked me up. Hey, Vinny, come out here. It's Vinny's pizzeria. This fucking Bismarcky comes out.
Robert
Which fucking
Klein is the mayor. When's the
Robert
last time
Klein
you
is
saw
the
him?
mayor of New York City, which, I mean, he practically is already. I mean, he's the guy that stayed with New York almost longer than
He's
anybody.
basically the mascot of the city.
He is. I mean, Woody Allen, of course, has his thing there, and but Robert Klein has been the guy all these decades. Like, so much so where I think he's done like segments on TV shows about, being out in New York City. He's Woody Allen and De Niro have lived there for decades, but he has actually pitched the city, He's been a spokesperson for it, which is what I'm getting at.
We also have Robert Hayes as the pilot, which is what you were
Yes.
getting at. You got the airplane reference when you saw the pilot. It was Robert Hayes.
I mean, I was getting the vibe before they even showed him. And when they showed him, I fucking almost fell out of my chair because I was like, that you know what you're in
Yeah,
for.
yeah. And they don't say it in the movie, but his character is named Bob Wilson, which is also the name of Shatner's character in Nightmare at 20,000 Feet.
Really?
Or he saw the thing on the gremlin on the wing. So they were aware of that
And I
reference.
love they did that reference too. I mean, so right away the tone is set. Once you have Robert Forster as the fucking airplane captain,
For days, yeah.
and they even talk about having the fish for dinner. I love that. Oh, the fish looked good, but I had the chicken.
And Finn sees the shark. The shark ends up in the plane, hence the
Of
snakes on a
course.
plane reference. Takes off Kelly Osbourne's head.
It kills them. They kill a number of people. A number. You know what? Most of the cameos
Are
do
dead.
get killed. Like Will Wheaton.
Judd Hirsch.
Oh my God. Judd Hirsch driving a taxi in New York City.
He just needed the sweater vest he wore all the time on the
Yeah.
cardigan he wore all the time on Taxi.
Why didn't they do that? Why didn't they just have him as Alex Rieger still driving a cab 40 years later?
Alex Rieger probably would have been still driving a cab.
Exactly.
Okay, now there were a couple of things that kind of irritated me, and I don't mean like logical issues. I'm gonna bring a few of those up, but I they don't bother me in this movie.
Once you get to, using coal freon as electricity,
Right.
you really can't.
I'm going to mention some logical issues, but I really don't have a problem with them. Really, the only thing I had an issue with is some of the music. It's done by a band called Quint, led by Robbie Rist, who played Oliver on the Brady Bunch and was in Sharknado 1,
Okay.
briefly. He wrote most of the songs, so it's his fault, or co-wrote them. They really wanted to rip off the Ramones.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I mean, yeah, the Ramones are also emblematic of New York, so I guess I see the logic, but it was just kind of annoying how much they were aping their sound.
Yeah, because they're kind of doing a rock and roll high school kind of thing at the same time, too. And why not?
And actually, I have this in my notes as a criticism, but having seen the whole movie now, it's an asset. They don't waste any time. They get to the Sharknado immediately.
Oh, yeah. I
Like,
mean,
there's no setup.
right. Well, they've got the Sharknado in the plane, and then there's a bit of a build-up after, which was good because then there's the whole, like, it's coming to New York, But nobody seems to plan for the panic, which is kind of like, what the fuck?
Even
Everybody
though
knew about
they know
this.
about the first Sharknado, I mean, she wrote a book about it. Also, that's an actual book. I have it. I got it as part of a Loot Crate 1 month, probably the same month the movie came out.
Huh.
It's the Zombie Survival Guide with a different cover and with Sharknado added.
One of the other great cameos that we have not mentioned yet, Andy Dick.
Yes, as a cop who has
Cop.
like one line.
You put Andy Dick in as a cop.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, the last place you'd expect him to be.
We also have, just to finish them off, Damon John, who's a panelist on Shark Tank. So, inside joke. I don't watch Shark Tank, so I didn't know who he was. Jared Fogle, who was a spokesman for, was a spokesman for, Subway.
Oh, I think he still does.
Is he still? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He just had a quick reference to his line in the in a scene. And Billy Ray Cyrus as a doctor,
I
because
didn't
he
realize that
played a
was him
doctor in the show Doc.
until I IMDb'd. I was like, oh, that was Billy Ray Cyrus.
Incidentally, the band Quint, named after Robert Shaw's character
Of
in Jaws.
course,
There's
Jaws.
also a ton of Jaws references in this one. That's really, I think, what they reference the most. Is Jaws. I mean, I only caught the two Star Wars references. The two guys in the sewer, one of them says, something moved past my leg. And when she kisses the kid before swinging across, she says, for luck.
Before luck. I
Yeah.
love that. There was also a second Indiana Jones reference, of course. Instead of a boulder, they have the Statue of Liberty head.
And at one point, they're outrunning it in a dump truck. They're outrunning the Statue of Liberty head. The Statue of Liberty's head, which is rolling down the street. They're outrunning it in a dump truck. And also in the outrunning it category, they're outrunning the Sharknado on bicycles later in the film.
Well, and then did it seem like the head was actually chasing them?
Kind of, yeah.
Like it was turning down the street to get with them?
And it just kind of needed that from Wizard of Oz to really set it
Yes.
off. Oh, early in the movie, we get a couple of other good cameos. As friends of Kari Werrer's character, we have Peppa from Salt and Peppa,
Yes.
and Tiffany Shepis, who she's done a bunch of Troma and a few other movies.
I was trying to recognize her. I could not place her.
Nice to see her again. Also, she got her face half eaten, which was the second really good gore, because the first one was when Tara Reid's character gets her hand bitten off on the plane.
Yeah.
And you actually see the bloody stump. Though, wouldn't she have bled out by the time he landed?
Would
Again, not gonna ding it for a logical issue, just
wouldn't they have
have to
all
think about it.
been asphyxiated from the hole in the side of the
That,
hull?
yeah.
Before the descent was even made, they had that hole, and they just would have been sucked out.
They also introduced a character early on who disappeared for no reason, which kind of bugged me because I thought he was going to be the John Hurt of the movie, the guy who, when they're looking for weapons, grabs the big bat.
Oh, you knew he was going soon.
But he didn't die, I don't think. Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, he did get a death scene. All right.
Yeah, he did. It was he saved somebody, I think, and then it got him
Oh,
as he
okay.
was celebrating.
Don't remember.
And they were like, "Look out!"
I figured he was going to be the John Hurt of the movie carrying the giant bat all over the place.
No, he celebrated. They were yelling, "Look out!" And they got it. It came from behind and got him.
Oh, rolling back to Tiffany Shepis's death scene. I love that she stun gunned the shark.
Teasing sharks.
It's chowing down on her face, and Kariwer pulls out a stun gun and kills it with that. Also, loved seeing the repent, the end is nigh guy got eaten.
Well, of course. Almost everybody gets eaten in this. Unless you're one of the main six characters, seven characters, you're
Actually,
dead.
no. Sky, Vivica A. Fox's character died.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
One
You're
of the
right.
mains did die. I mean, I
Okay.
presume she died. She was right next to the thing when it blew up. We didn't see her afterwards. They also set up a weapon that I really wanted to see somebody use. The Super Soaker Flamethrower.
They kind of did use it, but they didn't really show them using it.
Okay, I didn't see it. They're looking for weapons and they're, going because apparently New York doesn't have gun shops. I don't know if that's true or not. It seems odd to me.
Well, you know the whole thing about New York and gun control.
So they're looking for other weapons, and apparently they don't have hardware stores or chainsaws either.
We
So
keep calling Robert Forrest or Robert Hayes, or Robert Hayes for our first, or don't we?
they end up in this little deli, and they're grabbing different things that can be used as weapons. This kid grabs, this lighter fluid, because Finn said he wanted propane, and the father says, not quite the same thing. He says, I've got an idea for it. Grabs a super soaker. I so wanted to see that in action because the thing would melt.
Oh yeah, of course. I think that would be the entertaining part of it if it
Yeah, I
just
wanted to see them
fucking
actually using a
melted
super soaker
and
as a
burst into
flamethrower.
flames.
Well, I think it'd be funnier if it actually worked.
But of course it did work.
Now, another thing I really liked about the movie, none of the female leads needed to be saved. They could all take care of themselves, which was a nice touch in this in a movie like
For the
this.
most part, you had a few that were pretty annoying, like Peppa and
Well, no, but I mean the leads.
Terry.
Sarah Reed's always annoying, but she took care of herself. She didn't need to be saved by Finn, which was nice. Same thing
Yeah.
with Kari. And Vivica A. Fox, who was basically his, second in command the whole time.
Yeah.
Although I did see the slingshot gag coming. He
Well,
needs a way
yeah.
to get the bombs into the Sharknado, and she says, she's going to go to a toy shop because she has a way to do that. It was obviously going to be a big slingshot.
Just a toy store. What weapons can you really get out of a toy store? Except for something remote control.
A drone would have been an interesting choice.
It would have been.
I'm so kind of surprised they missed that.
Yeah.
Now we have to talk about the Today Show segments.
Yes.
Al Roker and Matt Lauer are a great double act. Who would have thought? Because they just intersect the movie now and then, or just interrupt, I mean,
Well,
with
yeah.
these clips from the Today Show with Al Roker talking about the Sharknado.
Of biblical proportions.
And there's actually two weather reports we keep getting. One is Al Roker, and another one is this woman at a random TV station who has Sharknado graphics, which just completely blew my mind.
The sharks on the weather map.
But specifically the last Today Show segment.
Oh, yeah, the shark attacks there, the
They've
studio.
got the harpoon or whatever it was in the shark, and he's, holding it down and just signing off, which was great.
Lara, oh, are we still on? While he's stabbing.
Oh, and also speaking of weapons, I loved the sword scene. One of the weapons they found was this basically Excalibur style sword.
Yeah.
It was all the fake Excaliburs, if you know swords. And they're up on the roof
That
trying
wasn't
to.
the real Excalibur?
Well, it's the ones that claim to be like Excalibur, even though there was never really a description of Excalibur. If
You
you.
sure that wasn't the real Excalibur?
If you know swords, you know what I mean. There's a billion swords that all look the same. They're basically claymore variants that claim to be, designed after Excalibur, even though no one knows it. Obviously, there never was an Excalibur, but there was never a description. Anyway, I digress.
I was digressing you. I firmly believe Finn would have pulled that sword from the stone and became king
Yes, of
of New
course.
York.
He was already Braveheart.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. So anyway, they're on the roof trying to launch the bombs into the Sharknado. It's not working. Suddenly a shark comes at them. She, Vivica K. Fox, pulls the sword and slices it in half with like one hand.
I love a lot of slicing sharks in half in this movie. In like one shot.
Do we want to jump to that one? I can roll back for some other stuff. We'll get to it. We'll take it in order. I also like that the elevators were watertight.
Yes.
They actually pulled the gag where the elevator comes down, it opens, and water floods out. And I don't mean drips out, I mean a torrent of water comes out of the elevator. And then they get to the rising water versus flaming sharks, which was very inventive. Although, why did he need to antagonize the shark to get the axe to open the door? Couldn't he just grab the axe?
Why would you need to antagonize a shark to attack?
But the shark attacking did nothing. He just grabbed the axe and opened the door with it.
Right. It was to give Mark McGrath something to do.
Yeah. It was to give them their moment of teaming up and, resolving all of their issues. Because those characters didn't like each other.
Yeah.
Also, Finn seemed to know a lot of people who were very useful.
Of course.
And also, they were playing it as he was more famous than his wife, even though she wrote the book, and that's why they were going to New York, because he was the one who actually stopped the previous Sharknado. And now on to the Braveheart speech. It's just before they're gonna try the Freon thing.
This is not that day.
And he gets up onto the top of this cab with the chainsaw and gives this rousing speech. And there's a shark flying straight at him. He grabs the chainsaw just like in the last movie, chainsaws it in half, turns back to the audience, and keeps going.
And probably my favorite ad lib or line or whatever, throw in line. Is somebody from the crowd yells, "You're brilliant!" After
Yeah.
that, after he does that,
I was already really liking this movie. That's when I fell in love with it.
I think that's one of the funniest damn things I've ever seen. You're brilliant, because he had to turn the chainsaw on, leaned back, and cut it in half.
Another truly great moment, and they kind of made up for a slight goof just before this. Tara Reid's walking around with her arm in a sling, and because her hand had been cut off or
Yeah.
bitten off earlier in the film, and there's a
After
shot
another
of it.
Star Wars reference, of course.
Oh yeah, true. Where you can obviously see, her fist instead of, a stump, all bandaged. But they make up for it because the next time you see her after she says to Finn's nephew that she needs help with something. Next time you see her, it's not Star Wars they're referencing, but Evil Dead.
Right. And here's my only complaint in this entire movie.
Really?
She did not say
Oh yeah, she
groovy.
didn't say groovy. True, true.
If she'd said groovy, I just that would have been it. That would game, set, and match.
Yeah, that's true. But it was total Ash. I
Of
still
course it
loved it.
was, yeah. But Tara Reid is Ash. Oh my God. In fact, let's get Raimi on this immediately.
They're doing that Ash and Ash versus the Evil Dead show. Yeah, lose Bruce. Bring in Tara Reid.
I hate remakes, but if you remade Evil Dead 2 with Tara Reid as
As
Ash,
Ash.
I mean the whole "Who's laughing now?" her trying to shoot the hand
Oh, yeah.
and oh my God, nothing against Bruce Campbell,
No,
love Bruce
of
Campbell,
course.
but fucking Tara Reid doing all that, punching herself in the face and everything, I take my money. That's all I have to say.
So they're up on the roof, killing sharks. And this is, while they're still trying to get the Freon bomb to work. Freon bomb works, building blows up. We have a very ragdoll version of Finn flying through the Sharknado. Like, obviously digital, has no bones. Had to be intentional, because a lot of the CG was pretty decent.
It was your Asylum CG,
But
where
I
like
mean,
the water CG, the flames are CG.
well, yeah, it's all CG, and it's not great CG, but it's passable.
Like yellow cotton candy coming out of the shark's head that's on fire.
But then we have this ridiculously ragdoll-looking Finn, who doesn't even look like Finn. You can just tell because of the jacket. That had to be deliberate.
And then he mounts and bridles a shark.
But then we also get, as the sharks are coming down, the people of New York are pulling weapons out of literally everywhere. One point, somebody has like a large machine gun in their trunk.
Dude turning out chainsaws and throwing it into the Sharknado. That's not one of the most batshit craziest moment you've ever seen in film. I don't know what is. This man, this biker guy, just turning on chainsaws and throwing them in the air and just watching them kill sharks while flying around and just repeat like four or five times.
And of course, as Finn's falling out of the Sharknado, he's got the chainsaw going. He sh you know cuts about five sharks in half on the way down.
Something like that,
Oh, by the way, they made a reference to the snow earlier in the film because it was shot in February. And there, you could actually see snow in the Statue of Liberty. And then he lands on the spire of, was it the Empire State Building?
I believe it was, yeah.
After, you know, falling however long, killing all of these sharks, and just climbs down like nothing. He's not beat up, he's not winded.
No. He's Finn.
Oh, another cameo I forgot to mention. The troubadour on the subway was the director.
I was gonna say, you know how many the cam I mean, just look at the IMDb. I mean, I didn't see Judah Friedlander, but apparently he's in there somewhere.
He wasn't the guy with the big bat.
I don't know, but of course I recognized Perez Hilton on the subway platform. The guy is like, "Where's this train?"
Oh, and not exactly a cameo, but apparently there was a guy running out of the stadium that had the asylum on his hat.
Yes, there was.
I missed that. I have to watch it again.
What'd you think about Richard Kind's
Oh yeah,
cameo?
as the retired baseball player, that was a nice touch.
Yes.
Another actor you don't see nearly enough.
It was just so weird. Like, it so, like, didn't belong with any of the rest of the film. This story. And then, of course, they do a natural reference with him batting a shark into the scoreboard.
And after the credits, we get a scene of Finn eating pizza silently, which referenced the beginning of the film because, like, the first line is, you know, he wants to have a slice of pizza when he gets to New York. But it's also a nice reference to the Avengers. Have you seen
That's
the
what I was gonna
Avengers?
say. I thought it was like the Avengers where they're eating the
Shawarma at the end.
shawarma at
That's,
the end.
yeah. It's also, you know, a callback to, you know, him saying, you know, as soon as he gets to New York, he wants to have a slice of pizza, and then all of this happens. Now he's finally getting the pizza.
Of course, one of my other favorite lines, you're not gonna need this again.
What was that from?
Well, you see, most films, when they throw in like a love story and, you know, like
Oh,
he gets the girl at the end,
right. Now I remember.
there was a wedding ring handy, get it? You see what I did there? For him to give to his woman to give their relationship another try. It was, of course, on her hand from the shark's mouth.
I didn't even connect that.
That's where he got the gun.
Was it her hand that had the gun
Yes,
tip?
it was. She remember she's shooting the shark.
Oh,
Why?
right. I
And
didn't even
the
connect
shark
that.
comes and bites the hand with the gun on it off. And
Right.
you know they're about to get it. He grabs the gun out of the shark's mouth, out of her with her hand still attached to it.
Because he needed to shoot some sharks that were coming down at him.
So then he takes the engagement ring and wedding ring off her dismembered hand and puts it on her other hand.
I wish I could give this six brains.
I think so too. Hey, if she'd said groovy after putting the buzz saw on her hand, I think I would have been there.
Right, so before we get to brains, see on the
Yeah.
sequels and remakes. Now, before I get to the actual sequel, which everybody knows about now, it's next month. There were some other tie-in merchandise which kind of fits in here. Released to coincide with it, Sharknado the video game, which is an Endless Runner video game, came out in July 2014 to mostly negative reviews. It's a movie tie-in, Endless Runner. I still want to try it. And of course, the book, How to Survive a Sharknado and Other Natural Disasters, an actual book worth picking up for humor value, particularly for the other stuff in it. If you have the Zombie Survival Guide, it's basically the same thing. In fact, I think it was put out by the same people. Now, of course, onto the actual sequel. Sci-fi hasn't. I'll actually call them sci-fi now, because this movie has earned enough respect. Sci-fi has announced that there will be a Sharknado 3, subtitled Oh Hell No,
It is very much fiction.
which will premiere on July 22nd, 2015, and take place in Washington, D.C. and Orlando, Florida. I'm wondering how they're going to do two locations.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see that.
Unless they're going to start in one and go to the other. Maybe Finn is and April, that's her name, are on their honeymoon in Florida, and they end up going to D.C. because of a Sharknado. Anyway, on to brains.
On to brains.
Like I just said, I wish I could give it a 6, but that's reserved for Spinal Tap, so I'm going
Yeah.
5.
I'm going 5 as well. This is exactly what we wanted from the last one. I think the other reference it was missing was a good Macho Grande
Yes,
reference,
of
but
course. It should have really hit the airplane references home a little more.
it was pretty strong on the airplane references already, but I think they
Who'd have thought that a Sharknado movie would get a double five?
This one knew what it wanted to do and did it, you know? The other one, if I'm remembering back right, they spent a lot of time on the freeways, just kind of stuck.
Well, it was LA.
It was mostly like the one scene on the cab, only for like another half hour long. This one at least mixed things up a lot more and really keeps your interest.
And what have we learned?
Everything is much more dangerous with teeth.
And I learned that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our chainsaws. All right, so until next time, when we'll be reviewing Red Snow, Red versus Dead, continuing with the B movie. I guess it's a trilogy we have of
You
B
think
movies.
so?
Yeah, it's this, the Dead Snow or Red Snow, and after that we've got I, Frankenstein.
I just think it's Zombie Takeout.
Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. You'll also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review, up through Horns, which we should be doing in mid-August by, I think that's what we figured out.
Something like that.
The request form, if you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form, and of course the recommendations list. Like I said, who would have ever expected it?
This is an oh hell yes.
You can also email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1, or for the alphanumerically challenged.
You can go fuck yourself.
Or you can chainsaw a shark.
Yeah.
414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you'll always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee. And until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.
You're just making this up as you go along. Let's keep that our secret.
Before I get to the actual sequel, which everybody knows about next month, it's next, which everybody knows about now, it's next month.